You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Modified theme music.
Oh, you notice my what's God. Missing?
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about.
We need a sponsor.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
We're back for a kind of a special version of, I almost said it, 3 years, of Car Selling Secrets. In studio guest and my new boss to my right is
John Belo from Flagship Ford.
And behind us, the man behind the curtain,
Andy Brant Bernard.
Superstar guest host right across from me,
Mike Gelfand. Third banana today.
Third banana.
Third?
I'm moving down.
Okay. Why?
Because I'm, I'm trying to, you know, make my life a little simpler now. I'm downsizing, Tom.
You're downsizing.
You drive 1,000 miles a year. How much simpler is it going to get?
That's very, very
well,
true.
I don't even want to think about that.
And very as always, true. Last and least.
Last and by far least, Tom.
All right. Right. This is fun. I really miss doing this.
Well,
I
you got to really, start really doing it again. I've been holding the chair. You notice I didn't get somebody to replace you yet.
Jimmy Francis tried that fucker.
Yeah, Jimmy Francis. He's the
mayor of
fired
South
up
St.
about
Paul.
It.
John, the tradition of Car Selling Secrets is that we always have the guest first time tell the story of their first car. So you're up.
My first car. I was given a hand-me-down Ford Escort by my grandmother, who's Ooh. Still alive, 93 years old, lives out in Burnsville, not far from us.
Just a kid.
That's right. An 86 Escort. It was four on the floor, steaming pile, as I recall, but it had a steering wheel, four wheels, and I was able to buzz around town with my buddies and loved it. And it was a cream picture baby shit brown.
See, just old lady beige.
Wonderful color. Yeah. It was
old
great.
Lady beige.
Yeah.
I like that.
I inherited my grandmother's Plymouth Fury. And there was no radio in it.
Mm-hmm.
She, like my dad, they would buy him special order to not have the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
save that $87.
Yeah, exactly. And there was nothing in it at all. There was, I mean, you know. No fancy stuff, no extras, nothing, bare bones, and but it was a pretty bad car.
My dad bought cars like that. He grew up in the Depression, so his first new car was a 1960 Falcon, three on the tree, no nothing.
Yeah.
And then as the family grew in the late 60s, he bought a Galaxy, which was a full-size
Ford Galaxy. Oh, yeah, right? The big car.
Yeah.
Three on the tree, no power steering, no power brakes, and no air conditioning.
Well, and no passing a gas station without stopping there.
And about a 5,000-pound car.
That's how I learned to drive in a car like that.
Did you
I'm
really?
Surprised you could turn the wheel. Those things were tanks.
No, I remember buying a car for the first time, buying a car with which we referred to as automatic.
Oh, an automatic, yeah.
Sure. It was three on the tree, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I don't think many people today would know how to drive one of those.
Probably not.
Nor should they.
Nor should
terrible.
They.
Yeah, I should mention this, by the way, the Ford dealers on both sides of me, that Ford has now decided to put the AMs back in the cars.
That's
really?
Right.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's good news.
Yeah. Why did they do? Do you know why they did that? Yeah, isn't that interesting, Andy? They put them back. Andy's the one who told me he took them out.
Yeah.
They said something about the electric cars and the engines.
That's what I'd read. Yeah. They create a lot of radio frequency interference for AM, so it's hard to get them to work.
But makes sense. You just need to shield it, basically, though.
Yeah. Mm. And it kind of makes you wonder if you're getting fried driving around your Mustang. Thank God we sold that, right?
Oh, thank God we got rid of that thing and dumped it on some guy from North Minneapolis. It'd be wonderful.
So, John, we're here to interview. How did you get in the car business? What attracted you to this wacky way of making a living?
So, great question. I'll give you the quick version. I worked for AT&T kind of out of college, which I didn't finish, by the way. But, you know, I was a sales guy and selling stuff all over the country, and it was going pretty well. And it was data networking services, and this is in the late 90s. 2000 dot-com bubble burst, and I got laid off with a lot of other people, hundreds of people, mm-hmm. was down in Dallas. So I'm like, well, what do I do now? And started a little consulting practice, helping a variety of businesses down in Texas, energy companies, manufacturers, a few other industries. My stepfather, Jim Leslie, had a consulting practice and did a lot of work with Ford Motor Company Corporate and said, hey, I need some help on a couple projects. Will you help me? Because I was my own, you know, hung a shingle, did it myself. Helped him. Went pretty well. Did a couple Ford gigs at World Headquarters in Detroit. And then it kind of grew. And then we got a couple large dealer clients out of it, just helping with a variety of stuff, buying stores and
shielding money from tax.
Oh,
shielding is a strong word. I prefer to, you know, we massage the system.
Right.
So. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so he and I jumped in. We started doing a lot of work for a lot of dealers, including some really large groups around here, Luther and the Rydell Group based out of Grand Forks. And it went really well. And we did a project for the Luther Group here, and their CPA firm kind of said to Jim and I, like, wow, you guys do a lot of this consulting stuff that we don't do. We would love to buy your firm. I said, okay, great. So we, you know, did our diligence and we sold it to Whitfley here in town, and we're in their employ. So pretty soon all we're doing is car dealerships for years and years. And at a certain point, working for enough of these knuckleheaded dealer kids, I call them, of which I have four dealer kids, by the way, myself. But working for them, I thought, well, you know, at some point, I think I'd like to do this myself. So one of my clients and buddies, his name's Joe Lunghammer over in Michigan, you know, I told him kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to buy some stores myself, and it's kind of hard to get in that club. So I used his money, right, other people's money, and jumped in, and we're up to four dealerships between he and I now. And I, you know, I have a buyout with them over time, and we're growing and buying more stores.
That's magnificent. What do you think of that, Doug?
It doesn't seem like your typical accounting guy, does he?
No, not really. That part is very, very true. No question about it.
But. On a side note, when you say that, it's kind of funny because working for these CPA firms for a number of years, April 15th comes around and guess what the CPAs do? They go off the rails out at the bar, you know, and I got to pour them back into the cab and get them home and everything. But those accountants do lighten up eventually.
Well, business accountants, it's quarterly, so it's four times.
That's right.
That.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. All right. So tell everybody about the other stores in the empire other than the mighty Flagship in Baldwin.
That's right. Flagship Ford's in Baldwin, Wisconsin, which is just 15 minutes east of Hudson, so it's not that far from the cities.
What did I tell you today? You told me I was
You
a
said
lie.
East St. Paul.
Well, it's the same thing.
It is. They're just right next to each other.
See?
Sorry, it blew up.
Touchdown.
We've also got Flagship Chevrolet, which is down in Zumbrota, Minnesota, just north of Rochester, where the Mayo Clinic is. Mm-hmm. And we've got a Ford dealership over in Owosso, Michigan, in between Flint and East Lansing. We bring our own bottled water when we, you know, drink stuff there. It's fine. Yeah, yeah. And we've got a used car shop in
Michigan.
Have
they replumbed Flint? I haven't heard anything about that. I thought that didn't they finally raise the money to fix the plumbing system there?
I don't know.
Maybe you don't know.
I think they did, but I don't know if they've finished it yet. That's not an easy project.
No, you just have to dig up all the streets and 100-year-old pipes. And mm-hmm. thank God we won't have to do that in this Twin Cities.
Yeah. Oh, no, I can't imagine what that would be like. Yeah. Yeah. I'm finally have access to my home.
Oh, they're done.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of done. They're not completely finished. The big trucks still roll down the street.
So what I understand, the city of St. Louis Park had a competition with the guys rebuilding the Louvre to see who could go
pretty much
slower.
Yeah, it's still there. The bituminous trucks still truck down the street. And they're still working on that.
Love the smell of asphalt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't like you open your windows these days. You don't like the smell of anything. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I've seen the pictures of New York City, particularly.
Oh,
and
man.
Everybody's mortified at the way it looks. That's the way it looked before the EPA when I grew up.
Yeah.
In the 60s, that it was pretty much every other day you couldn't see across the street.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, the stuff that's in the air that's really kind of like horrible for you, you can't actually see it. So it's not, you know.
You mean the radiation particles?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's not, you can't really see the part that's really bad for you, you know, the part that causes, you know, your asthma to flare up and your coughing and all that. But it still smells bad, of course. When I first opened my window a couple weeks ago and got the whiffs, the first whiffs of the Canadian fires, I just started thinking about my grandfather.
Really?
In Tulsa, yeah, because his cigars smelled exactly the same way.
Oh, yeah. Not good cigars, apparently.
No. Those would have been those nickel Panatellas.
Oh,
Dutch Masters.
Sure.
Yeah, and he'd give me the bands from them. And, I never saw him. I didn't see him that much because they lived in Tulsa. And, of course, they were never allowed to come to Minneapolis because my mother and my dad's mother hated each other so much. No. My grandmother.
What a life you've had.
My grandmother was finally, she had, the only relatives, of course, she had were our family, my dad and the kids.
Yep.
And my dad and my mother, I guess, finally said that she could move to Minnesota when she was like 88 and dying.
Oh.
It is kind of a sad story.
That's very sad.
Imagine being all alone in a city like Tulsa, for God's sakes, and you can't move to the city where your son and your grandchildren are.
Because they just didn't want her?
My mother just said no.
Oh, my God.
No. Those two hated each other with such a passion. And I didn't even like either of them, so I was kind of neutral in that battle. But no, that's a true story.
Well, that'll wrap up our selling secrets. So another month.
So finally she came here, and she went to a nursing home, and the rest was history.
I understand.
So if you wonder why I am somewhat lugubrious on occasion.
Lugubrious? Yeah. You haven't heard you say that in a long time.
No.
Very good.
Yeah. Lacrimose.
I was waiting for a punchline, Gelfand, like it was going to go deeper and deeper, and then you.
It would have.
A witty, sharp, response.
It could have gotten
witty
a lot
and
worse.
Sharp.
But that's why did I start that? Oh, the cigar smoke. Yeah.
That's the cigar smoke.
That's kind of what it's like, So it was for me. The smoke kind of triggered some pleasant memories.
Fractured family?
Yeah, right. The animus that runs rampant in the women in your family? Did any of you guys smoke cigars? Still?
Not anymore, no.
Not anymore? You used to, though, right?
I used to, yeah.
What about you, Dougie, on
the
water?
No, I tried a couple times, but I was a very good cigarette smoker. I could smoke a lot of cigarettes, but unfortunately, I didn't learn the cigar smoking skill, so I just smoked them like they were cool
vials.
I'd get wicked headaches. And
yeah,
just
it is a smell of its own. Yeah,
oh, God, it is. Inhaling cigar smoke.
Oh,
you were talking about the cool milds on the podcast.
Cool milds.
I smoked those as a young hooligan in Southeast Minneapolis.
when I was 16, I had a summer job as a janitor custodian at Pillsbury, downtown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And I had to, I always went into Philip Pillsbury he was like the CEO, probably owned half the company or something. Mm-hmm. And I would go into his room and his desk and in his office and just clean up things a little bit. Not much, it wasn't much to do because he never was there.
Right.
But he did have some Cuban cigars, very expensive ones, in the drawer that I just happened to see one day in his desk drawer. So I thought, if he leaves them in there much longer, they're going to go bad.
You better take them.
So I just took one.
Sure.
And I a couple days later, I was sitting outside with some friends, and so I lit the thing up. I got to see what this is like. But I didn't really vomit until the third take.
Nice.
You didn't inhale it, did you?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I have a janitorial question for you, because I also worked the night shift at a print shop. Mm-hmm. Did you ever run the big floor buffer?
No, I don't think they would have trusted me with that.
That's a whole Zen-like experience. If you got to respect the buffer and sort of very delicate, and then it's the easiest job in the world. As soon as you start to fight it,
yeah.
Oh, I loved watching that.
It's cool.
I
saw one spinning around
floor
in the hallway once.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you
looking around
and
it was just going,
like, what the hell?
I used to mop the floor at the brand new workshop, though.
You did?
After the show. Because, I had a small part in the show. But if they were going to put me on the payroll, the deal was I wasn't going to get paid for acting. So I had to mop the floor every night.
Now, that would have been in the old place on 28th Street.
Yes.
I heard Kim Do is closing or closed.
Oh, Sansevier is going to be mortified.
Really? Is it?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one to tell him.
No, Sandy.
Oh,
Sandy,
I would love that place. Yeah.
Kindo. What place are we talking? Kindo?
Yeah, it's on 28th and Hennepin. It's been there forever. Really good restaurant. But back in the day, it was called, do you remember?
No.
Professor Munchies.
I don't remember that at all.
Late 70s, it was like macrame shit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember that
Pretty
either.
Good food. Well, stone
I remember
hippie servers.
Yeah, going after a very specific demographic.
That's right. Yeah. Stone people in Uptown.
Yeah.
Kindo shut down April
29th. Oh, it is. Oh, so man. It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Why did they shut down, does it say?
Making too much money, making all the other restaurants look bad. That's usually why they close them.
Civil unrest and increasing rent.
Oh, so in other words,
so basically, Minneapolis sucks.
Uptown doesn't have the burnished reputation that it once had.
No,
it does not. No inner city does anywhere in America.
No,
anymore,
I just went to a show there. Saw my favorite living guitar player at a new place called the Green Room, which was Emerson and Lagoon or something like that.
Oh, right there. Yeah.
Yep. Really nice room. Great sound system.
Where the Kmart used to be. It's your fault.
No, Kmart's down. That's all the way to Nicollet.
That's
this
a lot of east.
This is
yeah.
much closer to Lake and Hennepin.
I thought you said Emerson and...
Emerson is a few blocks...
Where the Arby's
east
is.
Of... Yeah, but Kmart is way... Kmart's on Nicollet.
Yeah, it was on Nicollet, yeah.
Are they going to tear that building
down? Don't argue with a former Minneapolis cab driver, mister.
No, now he works.
That building is still there.
Yeah.
The Kmart building.
Yeah.
It is still there. Yeah.
I don't know.
Blocking the road still.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because it's like too expensive to tear it down or
I guess,
something.
Yeah.
It's not in the budget, you know. But that building, the only thing I can figure out is there must be homeless people living in it.
Probably. Probably true.
So I want to shift gears a little bit and explain to you one of the many reasons that I've enjoyed working for John so far. So we were talking marketing ideas, and that's always a challenge. When you're a retailer, because we don't build our own Fords. Ours aren't any different than anybody else's. Mm-hmm. So as a retailer, you have to figure out how to set yourself apart from the crowd. And I said, you know, years and years ago, before I married Sarah, but we knew we were going to get married, I bought a big house. I was rehabbing it. And the marketing director, and I don't want to name the name of the company, rhymes with Nalzer, was a really good friend of mine, still is one of my best friends. And he was on the outs with his wife for a little bit. Fortunately, they patched it up, but we were living together, and this is during the recession, so we're working our ass off trying to save the company. And one night when we were drinking scotch and listening to Jimi Hendrix records, we decided to come up with the worst marketing campaign ever, and then we were going to dead-face show it off to Mall Calzer.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the company.
Absolutely.
So John's like, so what did you do? And I said, we came up with Walzer Automotive's first annual fall fucktacular.
Yeah, that'll work.
We had a big promo and we presented it to Paul, who was just like mortified because he thought we were serious. So I'm telling the story and I'm looking at John and I can see his eyes are twinkling and he goes, kind of like that. And I said, well, imagine this. Flagship Ford fall fucktacular. And he goes, do you think we get in trouble if we did that? And I'm like, I love the way you're thinking.
Well, and the alliteration is worth
that
its weight.
That one's great. Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Know, so Fs. Listeners out there, we might actually do this fall, but we need a hook. I mean, you can't have a sale with just a cool name.
Yeah.
And I had thought of, safe driving condoms for your car, giving away free rubber floor mats with every purchase or something like that.
Sure.
So if anybody has any great hooks for marketing ideas for Flagship Ford's first annual Fall Fucktacular, please email me directly at doug@flagshipford.com. We might even give away a free car to a good enough idea.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases,
right,
and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this, if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know.
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their six Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Is this going to be sort of like the auto show used to be, you know, where they'd have all these beautiful new cars, and then there'd be a model sprawled out on the hood of each car?
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yes, Doug, it's exactly like that.
I don't think you can do that anymore for some reason.
I don't know why. In Baldwin, Wisconsin, we can do things that you couldn't do at a Toyota store in Bloomington.
Yeah, well, and it's funny with the advent of social media, right? So we couldn't do this on the air, right, in the old days or you know, with the three network channels on television. But now with social media and websites and, you know, and he was telling the story that it's amusing. And I literally thought, there might be something to this. It'd be fun, like a social media campaign. There are some production companies that do TV commercials that occasionally will do a little one-off that doesn't get aired that is very irreverent, you know, and they'll hit the, you know, the internet, YouTube, whatever. There's a couple really good ones.
And that's how you get recognized.
Yeah.
And that's how you differentiate yourself as a retailer. Because our Fords are great, but they're all built in the same factory. The other ones aren't any worse or better.
So. Well, you're basically selling a commodity.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Indeed.
So it's really, you sell, for me, it's fun and customer experience. I mean, this doesn't have to be painful to buy a car. So.
Well, and I will tell you, as a person who may have purchased a car from Flagship Ford, you have some of the best people working over there I've ever dealt with.
And that's all John. Really I've good. Only been there a few weeks, but it's
very, very pleasant.
Enjoyed
people.
Working with them.
We really do. We don't just hire kind of anybody off the street has experience in a given job. We really do try to make sure there's a fit and culture.
Most of them have been in the dairy industry, from what I can tell.
Oh, really? We're in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So it's,
what else is there? It's
well, there's beer.
That's all. Yeah, beer and milk.
The beer guys didn't show up very often. Yeah. The dairy guys are used to getting up early.
Yeah.
It is funny that you say that. I'll tell a quick one here. So we buy the store in August of 17, and I go in, and I'm used to Twin Cities, you know, the Luther Group, right? We have really stringent rules on who you can hire and why, including, you know, pot smoking and also people with DUIs. Well, at where I worked, we literally could not hire anybody if they had a DWI within the last 10 or 15 years.
Really?
So then, yep. So I go to the store, first one on my own by myself, I mean with my partner, Joe, and I'm looking at everybody and we're doing the insurance thing. And anecdotally, employees are like, well, yeah, that first DUI, you know, 5 years ago. And, you know, I'm kind of like, first DUI? I'm like, oh, shit. Six of our employees the day I started had DWIs within the last, like, 15 years. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, the insurance company is going to say we're uninsurable and I got to get rid of these six people, whatever. Well, it didn't go down that road, but I thought, wow, this could be very bad.
So if you have a drinking problem and you want to sell cars.
But the culture's great, though.
Come see Big John.
Yeah, the culture's great.
They already got that covered with you.
The whole I've never had a DUI.
I never have either.
I've probably should have a couple of times, but.
Well, we've all had experiences, I suppose. But, yeah, I've never even came close getting a DUI.
The worst was, you know, in my band playing era before I became a dad back in the 90s, I was working, running dealerships and then playing every weekend. for some odd reason, if you're driving a car with dealer plates on it at 3 a.m, the cops pull you over. I mean, the kill rate's usually 99%.
I can't believe it.
And I'd, you know, and I would always drink when I played, but I'd have like one beer every set. So it's like 4 hours, you've had four beers, I'm 210, I'm fine. And I'd always blow the .02 or .03, and they'd be like, well, all right, just take it easy. It's like, what do you mean take it easy? I have the cruise on. Get off my back. But, yeah, I've never had one.
Me either. Never had any interest in it. Well, of course, I didn't start driving until I was 22 years old. So
that's
might
right.
Have been part
you were a late bloomer.
I
got,
wasn't a late bloomer. I didn't have any money.
The only thing I ever got a, the only thing I ever got a ticket for was being it was driving while being a cynical asshole.
Oh, that's
oh,
every
come
day,
on, Mike.
I don't know. I don't know.
DWCA?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You call out a turn signal.
Driving while I, no. Yes, well.
You know, they say, well, I was just going to give you a warning, but I think I'll throw the book at you.
Because it's you.
It's just kind of like the reverse.
I
you know?
Love
it's,
that.
No, I never got a DWI. I'm sure that when I was 16, I probably should have.
I love those reports they get from northern Minnesota. You know, we would have let him go, but it's his 24th DUI.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You know, I was having breakfast with Sarah in Provincetown. Prescott, P-Town.
Oh, I love Prescott.
And reading the St. Croix County tablet.
Sure.
It's the most fascinating thing is the police blotter, and it's four pages long.
You're right. Yeah.
Savor that, because that publication will probably be gone soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read from the editor's desk. She misspelled like 8 words in there. I wanted to go, you know when you get the little
spell
squiggle
check.
Under there?
Don't
that
have
means
that.
You're either really smart or there's a problem. Sorry.
What are you going to? I like the fact that you're wearing the, you're flying the flag.
Yeah, know. This is a nice shirt. I got
it
this
is a nice
job.
Shirt.
Yeah.
It's Nike and everything.
See? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Big shot.
We don't do anything cheap over in Baldwin.
I know that. That's
right.
I know
brush
that
our teeth in the
there.
Morning. That's one of our rules.
Too.
Mm-hmm. People like our fresh breath.
No question about it. Yeah,
I am having fun. I started my automotive career selling Fords over not quite 40 years ago. And it looks like I'm going to finish it. And it's been fun to come full circle. And man, are these cars, especially the pickup trucks. Because when I sold Fords, pickup trucks were kind of pedestrian and plain. They were just work trucks. Now they're like luxury vehicles.
Yeah, they sure are.
Are they getting a lot bigger? God, there's some pickups
that
are
huge. There are some massive pickups. Although, I mean, one of my first cars was an F-250. And that thing...
That's a big truck.
If it had snowed in the last 5 years, you couldn't stop.
Oh, yeah, rear-wheel drive and real heavy.
Did Andy say one of his first cars was an F-250?
Yeah.
Well, we lived on a farm, so we just had, like, a farm truck, so I drove that.
There you go.
Yep. It wasn't my car.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Those things are bulletproof. Honestly, from, like, a market point of view, F-250 Super Duties are in just wild demand from tradesmen and women and, you know, people that are driving these things. Ford can't build enough of them. And those things are massive.
Mm-hmm.
And my issue with
huge.
It, I'm 6'4", and I have to, like, hoof it up the, you know, the
pardon
the
me while
board.
I cry for you.
Yeah. but Mike, we're both shrinking, and I used to be 6'5". So,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It's like a,
so I have a question. What size are your – how broad are your shoulders?
I'm a 53 long.
53 long.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I have a question for you. Do you talk to your mother often?
Yeah.
Well, the only reason I ask you that is she's still pissed off at you for being born. She's delivering this. Oh, good. He's coming on. It'll only take about 5 years.
That's why you're an only child. I never put that two and two together.
Exactly. That's exactly. I ain't going through that again, man. Because I was 2 feet tall and weighed 11 pounds.
You were 20? Holy.
I was 2 feet tall and weighed 11 pounds. Well, that's my name is Thomas because they thought I was twins.
So Toots wasn't too happy with that, I suppose.
No, it was a natural childbirth, too.
Ooh, so back then, like, they didn't do the voluntary C-section so freaking.
No.
Yeah, right.
No, they did not.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was rather painful for her because she brought it up once. Well, you know, you've always been a pain in the ass. So.
Next up on the Vagina Chronicles.
Well, we're just trying to deliver a message.
No, it's great.
Speaking of mothers, I just got back from Scotland. I was over there
for
a week.
I love Scotland.
With my parents. I was going to ask you guys, have you been?
Love Scotland.
Long time ago.
Great country.
Well, it is.
Over 20 years.
Scotland's. Has it been over 20 years, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we love it. I've been there like 4 or 5 times. Love it. Well, Barnard's a Scottish name, actually.
Oh, cool.
So that works. I was either British or Scottish. Mine is apparently this. There's a Barnard Castle in Scotland, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Not a relative, though. Because I was going to take ownership of the castle.
You're right. Storm it.
Yeah.
I'll just storm the castle. That'll be wonderful. So where did you go in Scotland?
So we kind of based out of Edinburgh, and we went trips up to St. Andrews, which was awesome. I didn't get to play, but I ate lunch up there, which was wonderful. Went over to Stirling and saw the Battle of Bannockburn, Stirling Castle. And my family, my maternal grandmother, is a Scot, right? Sort of the border region down south. So we went down there for a day. It was great. Loved it. Scotland was awesome.
Andy, what was your favorite part?
Probably the castle.
Stirling or Edinburgh?
We were in, where were we? Turnberry?
Turnberry, yep.
Yeah, okay. Turnberry.
So did you go on like a famous golf course tour? Is that what you were doing?
That's what they were doing.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was doing. That's a possibility.
What I was doing was sitting in the castle and playing Game Gear.
But you were rolling down the hill, and they started yelling at you for rolling down the hill. I remember that.
I haven't traveled much, but I do like the castle on Blaisdell and Lake Street.
Oh, the White Castle. I love that thing.
Yeah.
I love that bad boy.
Officer Dave thinks 53 long is funny. Because he's a 58 extra long.
Ooh. 58 extra. Oh, he's
a big
fella.
How do you even find shirts?
Officer Dave is a big man. I'm not
I always
you.
Wonder about that because, like, you know, when I buy a shirt, a sweatshirt or something, I buy a medium. And which leads me to wonder, like,
who's small?
Yeah, who buys a small?
My wife buys a small. She would
buy a small.
I have smalls.
In the kids department sometimes, which is a little kind of creepy in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, hon, I like these shorts. Well, I'll get them in the kids department.
I have smalls that fit, and I have extra larges that fit. It really depends on where you go.
I suppose that's true.
The names mean nothing.
I would think Officer Dave has to get a lot of custom stuff made.
I would assume so.
Oh, God, yes. You think it's embarrassing that my wife has a longer inseam than I do? Because I have very short legs.
That's
I wouldn't
right,
be
yeah.
embarrassed about it.
Yeah, she's got like
For one, how do people know this unless you tell them?
No, I'm just saying, well, she walks next to me, we're basically the same height. Well, like, she's a couple inches shorter.
Like my middle son, Max, really fast. And he's basically mostly legs.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And we were at a Little League game once. And he's like stealing second, stealing third, and the coach goes out and he's talking to his catcher, you know, pitching thing at the mound. Why do you just let this kid steal? And the catcher, this guy is about 10 years old. He says he's all legs.
It's not fair. Well, he's a freak.
Tom, you and I might as well just go out and have a heater because now when we're talking about baseball, John and Mike have a lot in common.
Oh.
Baseball?
I'm a baseball guy. I coached traveling baseball in Prior Lake for 12 years for both my sons.
Yeah.
And between them, they won state twice, took second twice, and we just have – and then I played. I played old man baseball basically, town ball up until right before COVID. So I love baseball.
Yeah, I coached baseball for, I don't know, probably at least 12 years, but – my favorite teams were the T-ball teams. Every year when I had to go up and the kids got older, I liked it less.
Really?
Yeah. T-ball was my favorite. So I'm kind of like, not like most of the coaches who, they wanted the esteem of playing the big leagues, you know.
Sure.
But because the thing is, and I hate to say this because as my friend would say, this is another one of my bummer stories, but when the kids were like
the
six,
other one.
When yeah, the kids the were one. Like 6 or 7 years old, you know, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is all new to them. It's their own thing. And they haven't had anything that was their own. You know, everything was like, they're just becoming individuals and they can't get enough of it. And they love sliding. And at the end of the game, the kids on both teams say, are absolutely convinced they won.
Oh, really? Yeah. Both teams?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, they can't read the numbers, so.
Yeah, no, it was fine, you know, and we didn't really keep score much. In the beginning, we did, but as the years went by, and of course, I kept coaching T-ball for many years because I had three kids. I just kept going down, but, you know, they loved it, and these kids were innocent and wonderful, and then, of course, you know, 15 years later, you see what happens.
They're all in jail.
Yeah, right, exactly. But at that age, when Mike's talking about the 7, 8, 9, not quite traveling, but what you will see is sort of a bifurcation of natural talent, mm-hmm. where the kids that are just having fun and they're kicking the dirt, which is great. They're out there having a good time. Mm-hmm. But there will be the kid that's my size that is going to kill someone with a bat because they hit it so hard and it's a little like, so then when they get to 10 years old, they do split and you know, try out for traveling or you stay in rec league.
Well, yeah. And then eventually they're in a gang and they have two kids
grow up
by the
so
time.
Fast.
Brass knuckles.
That's a big problem with Briar Lake. All the gangs down there.
Yeah. It's a big issue.
Well, I mean, all those
lake kids. You know?
I did have two of the kids I coached were shot to death later.
Are you kidding? Yeah. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, that's
terrible.
Hey, Andy, do you have any tissues in here?
There's a big roll right there.
Actually, there's a whole bunch over in the corner. Right.
Now, most of the kids are just fine. You know, 95%. And some of the kids are still, they're still my Facebook friends.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
So it's nice, yeah. But then, you know, there's always the outlier and it happens, and you know, you don't really see it coming so much when they're 5 years old.
You know, I'm suffering right now because you're talking about baseball, and I'm a Twins fan, so shut up.
I'm sorry. Hey, you're 500.
Oh, my God, that team sucks. I mean,
you're 500. What's, you know, it's Minnesota mediocrity at its most mediocre.
It's true. They cannot hit. Their middle relief is terrible.
Yeah, pitching's good, but yeah.
Well, the starting pitching's good. And the closer.
They're in first place.
I was going to say, aren't they in first place?
And if they were in the American League East, they'd be 13 out.
13 out. Yeah.
And see, we say that, they'd be 13 out. And then we say, well, what about the West? Well, then they'd be 9.5 games out.
Yeah,
but
right.
Actually, if they were in either division, they'd be much farther out.
Yeah, they would.
Because they'd be playing better teams.
Yep.
Yeah, and so at 500, when we make the playoffs and win the Central, and then we'll just get swept by the Yankees again.
Again.
Right.
We have not won a playoff game in, 18
it's
years?
It's brutal.
Yeah. I think it's 18 years.
Is it
18
or 19?
Maybe it's 19
could
years.
Could be 19. I'm not sure.
It's a long time.
I love the Twins. I have since I was 9 years old when they came from Washington. I've loved the Twins. And I thought they were good. I saw them at the beginning and said, man, this team's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought they'd be 500 just because they always are. But I'll tell you one thing. When they get rid of Max Kepler, they'll go on like an 8-game winning streak.
Seriously, he's got to
just by
go.
Getting rid of him.
He's got to go. He's worthless.
It's crazy. Yeah.
His batting average has come down consecutive years now.
It's yeah.
Like 180 now or something like that?
192, I believe, is the current one. Yeah, so, that's because he got a single yesterday. Yeah.
I forgot.
A hanging slider.
I've got a baseball nostalgia one for you. So a good friend of mine, Mike Murray, down in Savage, and our kids grew up together. He, his father, and his son are on a trip right now, and I think they're hitting 9 ballparks in 11 days, right? They started in Pittsburgh a couple days ago.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Chicago, Kansas City, down everywhere. And I'm so jealous because I talked with my dad when I was a kid about doing this, right? It was just hard to get it scheduled, but they're doing it right now. Wouldn't that be fun?
I would love to
go to Fenway and then go home. You don't need to go anywhere else.
Oh, here we go.
Well, you've never been. I don't know why.
I have never been. I've been to Boston, but I've never been to Fenway.
Yeah, Fenway's, it's a lot of fun.
The first time you walk in there, you see the Green Monster, you go, holy shit.
I remember watching batting practice at Fenway, and the first time I heard a baseball clank off the wall, I thought, I didn't know it made that noise.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you can't hear it on television.
No, you can't.
You cannot hear it on television.
It was a little bit disappointing. I don't know what I expected, but it was a little disappointing. But Fenway is, when you go in there, you know, you're going into a temple.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. They've got actually a duplicate. They call it Fenway South down in Fort Myers.
Oh, they do, really?
Training is. And it's the same dimensions. They have Green Monster.
Really?
Obviously, it's not the same, but.
Yeah, close.
It's easier to get in there than it is, you know, the real Fenway.
But the great thing about baseball now is we have a new superstar. We talked about this earlier in the Tom Bernard Morning Show podcast.
Yeah.
But we have Ellie De La Cruz. He's 21 years old, plays for the Reds. And to me, it looks like he'll be the – well, as I said in the other podcast, he's like – He's kind of like a Mickey Mantle on steroids, or a Barry Bonds not on steroids.
Yeah, there you go.
And you see how thin and skinny he is.
He's 6'5",
he hits the crap out of the ball.
6'5", weighs 150 pounds. He made He may well be the fastest player in baseball right now. He probably is the fastest player. He steals bases all the time. Switch hitter, hits 400. He's already in like two games that he's played. He's already hit a 450-foot home run. This guy, I mean, this is, it's like science fiction.
And the exit velocity of that home run yesterday was the fastest ball off a bat in the entire Reds organization.
Like 119 miles per hour.
Which is unheard of.
No, this guy is he's it.
I told you we could go.
Yeah, you too. Jump in anytime.
No, it's fine. This is good.
Most recent postseason win, by the way, October 5th, 2004.
2000.
We're coming up on 19 years ago.
Hey, oh God, I gotta go home.
So you're saying there's a chance?
In 2004, what happened? There was a Red Sox something or other that happened in 2004.
Yeah, favorite year. Oh my God, that was so exciting.
USA Today has a list of things that make it seem even longer ago than 19 years feels like a long time ago. Yes. But how about the number one songs on the Top 100.
2004.
American Idiot, She Will Be Loved. Mm. Days Go By.
What?
That was a while ago.
I don't know any of those.
You don't?
She will.
I can't believe it,
Mike.
You know you don't listen to KDWB.
The top grossing movie was Shark Tale.
Shark Tale?
The movie everyone has forgotten even exists at this point.
Exactly.
Rodney Dangerfield died.
He died 19 years ago already?
Wow.
Apparently.
Well, that must have been pretty close to the first year of The Sopranos, wasn't it?
That was like 99, I think.
Oh, was it?
Was it that long ago?
No.
Great show.
It was 1999. It was actually.
I rewatch it about every 3 years.
It was actually a year before the last season of The Sopranos.
Oh, 2019 was? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense, yep. No question about it.
Yeah, what a premiered great... January 10th, 1999.
Although that last episode
4 years ago.
It was. The ending of that I just wasn't a fan of.
No, not at all. But Tony Soprano, what a character.
Great character.
It was unbelievable. But so good. It's good. Now my team hasn't won a playoff game in 20 years. Have a great day, Tom.
Well, you can talk to Herbie
about it
tomorrow.
And they haven't won a game in a week. Yeah. So.
And they haven't won a game in a week. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to Herbeck about it tomorrow. Oh, God, you'll like this one. So Herbeck and I have been friends for 35 years, a long time. He's just a great guy. Could not meet a nicer guy. You guys are about the same size, as a matter of fact, so you get along really well. But I'm standing there.
But can you do the splits at first?
No.
And get up.
I still can't believe he could do that.
He was a flexible guy
for his size. He was, indeed. So we're at the stadium last August. They did a Tom Bernard day. It was very nice and all the rest of it. And we're wearing the IQ92 hats because in the 87 World Series, a guy took a bed sheet and wrote Tom Bernard IQ92 on it, saying basically I knew nothing about baseball and I'm a moron, right?
Yeah.
So I'm telling her, he goes, why'd you put that on hats? I said, oh, because it was, man, you know what it means? You're at the World Series and your name is on a banner at the World Series. And he goes, yeah, man, that's great. You know, I hit a grand slam in a World Series. I said, shut up, you. Get away from me.
In the same inning as Dan Gladden.
As Dan Gladden.
In 87. Yeah, yeah.
God.
That was great.
I'm Bradley Trainer.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game. And you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I grew up in Bloomington and Kent was on kind of right on the border of East and West, and I was more West Side Jefferson kid. But my dad was acquainted with him, and growing up playing baseball in Bloomington, Herbeck was awesome.
The guy.
Now, across the river, obviously, had Molitor and Winfield, and Joe Mauer wasn't there yet. But, I mean, some great baseball players come out of this town.
Joe Mauer was
the greatest.
An unusual high school athlete, a huge star.
Mauer?
But you know, what you heard from the announcer mostly, and he takes ball four.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
No, he was trained. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You could hit a grand slam on any pitch. But you can't swing if it's a ball.
If it's a ball, you can't swing, man.
He learned discipline, I guess. But unfortunately, he carried that same attitude into when he was playing with the Twins.
Bilateral leg weakness? I still don't know what the hell that
it's
means.
It's a pervasive condition, Tom. Lots of people have that.
Okay. I've never even heard of that.
I don't think anybody had.
I mean, just looking back on the Twins. Okay, I know what you were laughing about. You can tell John why you were laughing about me at the Twins game with Herbeck.
I have no idea what you're... Oh, yeah. Tom Bernard Day. So we're up in the... up in the nosebleeds. It's actually a little nice club seating. There's a bunch of advertisers and people from the Omulus station. And Tommy's throwing out the first pitch to Herbeck. Fires it into the dugout.
I did. I literally forgot.
Were you trying to throw a split finger?
Yeah. I just forgot, because I hadn't been on a mound in about 40 years, that when you step down, your left foot is about 6 inches lower than your right foot. Mm. And I didn't adjust for that. So the ball, when it left my hand, was like, yep.
And Herbeck just stood there, stunned silence. Like, what the fuck?
Well, it was kind of cruel of them not to let you take a practice shot.
I agree. See, they should have done a little practice.
You were set up.
I would always.
Yep.
I'm always set up, and it deeply hurts, and I just want you to know that.
You're a patsy.
Good thing it wasn't the 68 mound. You probably would have thrown it at yourself.
I probably would have hit myself in the back of the head, for Christ's sake. But no, you guys were talking about the Twins and all the rest of it. It's a huge part of me being a Minnesotan. I love the Minnesota Twins. They piss me off, I understand. And I really love the fact that now I'm 30 years away from the last World Series victory.
I know.
30 years ago, that was Mike.
Speaking of baseball, did you watch Fastball?
No, I haven't yet. Dude. You told me about it, but I will. It's on my list. I got it on my list. I just work all the time, so I haven't.
I sent it to you so you could watch it on the plane to Scotland.
That's true. You did. I'm sorry.
God, I want to go to Scotland again, though. I really do.
Hey, how about that run, though? Honestly, between 87 and 91, and we can move on from baseball.
It was wonderful.
But those 4 or 5 years, that was awesome.
It was fantastic.
I really love that. And Kirby, my father, used to play basketball with Kirby Puckett, pickup, just, rec leagues, actually here in St. Louis Park. And Kirby was, I think, 5'9".
Yeah.
And my dad
played against him. He's good.
You did.
Yep.
My dad said he could jump out of the gym and dunk easily at 5'9".
5'9".
5'9".
He wasn't a little guy either. I mean, he had some weight to
him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But he looked like Nate Archibald or Muggsy. He's good at that. Same kind of build.
Those guys Spud Webb. He was 5'5", and he could dunk.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not fair.
Gelfand, can you dunk at 5'5 back in the day?
I can't even dunk a donut.
You should name a shop after Dunkin' Donut. That'd be good.
I was walking down the street in my neighborhood a couple of days ago, and there's a little kid. He was probably about 4. And he was throwing a little ball up. They set up a little hoop, for him, which was like, 5 feet high.
Yep.
And the kid was throwing the ball up there, and he was having a great time. And his mother was there smiling, enjoying the whole thing. And I said to her, he's an athlete. I said, in a few years, he'll be hanging on that rim. And she looked at me like, what's a rim?
I didn't even know what it was.
I had no idea. No,
I understand that.
Baseball is not the sport of kings these days.
Why? No, why?
Very out of favor among very young people.
Lacrosse for youth has actually taken a lot of athletes out of baseball.
Well, that's one season. Of them. But I'll tell you something. The parents of these kids now, they never played baseball.
No.
So they played soccer.
Yeah, I could see
so
that.
So these kids play soccer. I mean, huge throngs of kids at the park playing soccer. And then every now and then, you'll see, like 24 kids playing baseball.
I'm telling you, honest God, I will never, and you guys can talk about this. The first time I ever hit a home run, I will never forget how that felt. When the ball actually went out of the park, I went, oh my God, that's how that feels.
And you get your moment in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Rounding the bases is great.
Just trotting along.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you do the slow trot?
I did. Yeah. I did the slow trot. I absolutely did.
I'll tell you my sad baseball story. See if this is sadder than one of
Mike's. Listen to this, Mike. You can use this later.
When I'm in sixth grade, exactly. Last year, Little League, and we got a really good team. And in the spring, my grandfather, and this is back in the 60s, where they hadn't invented aluminum bats. You still played with wood. He sent away to Louisville for baseball bat for me,
a slugger,
with my name on it.
Oh,
big time.
How many pitches till it broke?
Oh. First one.
No way.
I knew it. Peter keeping through on inside. I thought I could pull it and snap the son of a bitch right in half. Peter, F you stupid Canadian.
You stupid
You calling
Canadian.
Him stupid? You weren't supposed to play with that bat.
No, that's, yeah.
I know.
It's like a ceremonial kind of thing.
Some baseball, some gal named Baby Ruth signed.
Baby Ruth.
That's exactly. A great baseball movie.
I will tell you what, though. I knew from looking at your face, after knowing you for all these years, he broke the bat.
And I kept it. You know, I brought it up to Maine, and I remember nailed it together, and I'd hit wiffle balls with it just because it was a gift. And
later on, I'll teach you how to tell that story with a little more heartbreak.
Yeah, a little more heartbreak in there. That'd be good.
The barrel flew into the stands.
Oh, God.
Pierced the nun.
What you miss right playing baseball? Did you play baseball? You played baseball.
Yeah, a little bit. Mostly what I played was Sandlot because it was always a game down at the park.
Yeah.
God, it was fun.
And I loved doing that. And, you know, my dad, I'm a lefty, and my dad taught me in more ways than one. I know you're going to say that. And my dad taught me, he said, you know, because I was, you know, I didn't have a lot of power when I was 6 years old. And my dad just told me how to stand and how to hit the ball to left field. Because if it didn't get out of the infield, it didn't matter. No one was going to throw me out.
Yeah.
No, and I had the extra step. So, but that's, you know, when I continued to play baseball and then played softball, like, you know, like everyone does when they're in their 20s and maybe 30s. I played softball and probably till my youngest son was about 5. And I'm playing softball one day, and I hit a single, and I run down to first base, and I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I'm not enjoying this. And I just walked to my car and went home.
That was it.
And I never played again.
Never did again.
Because, you know, it was sad, but my kids were more enjoyable than the softball game was.
Nice.
So you reach that point in life where basically you've just quit, right?
Yeah. Because you're like Doug's example of a horrible moment.
Yeah, horrible moment. That's exactly right.
So now my favorite baseball memory was we used to go to Cape Cod, the whole family.
Oh, that's
cousins, uncles, aunts. And then we had our Cape Cod family that we got to be friends with these people. Such good friends that when my uncle died 40 years later, most of them showed up to his funeral.
Wow.
So it was a great community. And every couple of days when the weather wasn't quite right, we'd go and play baseball, although we called it hardball.
Hardball.
Come on, let's go. We're going to play hardball. And this was super competitive. I was pitching. It was probably seventh grade. And I pitched against my uncle, who was really good. And we tried hard. I mean, we really went at it. There was the saddest thing that happened. My oldest cousin was living in Boston, kind of a stoned-out hippie in his 20s, fell off, got hit on his bicycle and sliced open his right hip.
See, this is the kind of story.
25 or 30 stitches.
How much blood?
Okay.
How big was the pool of blood?
He's got, you know, he's all stitched up. He's okay. But we're playing hardball, and it's close. He's on first base, shot into, you know, right center. He stretches for third, and the entire family goes, slide, Tommy, slide. And guess what happened?
Oh, no.
And this isn't one of these manicured infields. This is Cape Cod Junior High School, 1968. It's like gravel.
The road rash.
And the worst thing?
Yeah.
He was out.
That's right.
He was out anyway. Yeah.
I think the last time I played softball, one of the last times, was in the Chicago Media League.
Oh, sure. Kitten ball, though.
And that's the problem. That is
kitten
the problem.
Ball.
So they said, no, do you play softball? I said, oh, yeah, I love softball. Sure, yeah.
Not the same.
I got my glove, and they're looking at me like, you're not going to wear a glove, are you? I said, well, we're playing softball. They said, no, nobody wears a glove.
No.
No. Why would they? I said, well, maybe so I don't break
arthritis.
Yeah, which I have now. But
exactly.
And no. And I said, they said, well, so do you, you know, you probably don't hit with much power. And I said, I can hit the line drive into the gap in left center. They said, no, you can't. Not here.
No, you can't.
So, yeah. So that was when they broke the news to me. It was a kitten ball. It was this huge ball, about the size of a pumpkin.
Only Chicago is the only place where they play that.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
And you can hit the ball. Like, I could hit the ball out of the infield in the first inning. But by the third inning, no way, because the ball is just mush by then.
It's like hitting toilet paper.
And you've got all these guys playing, you know, you went out with gloves, and you got this huge ball, which is very capable of breaking fingers. And I think the time when I was really shocked was when I realized that we were playing the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
But
watch out for that cello player.
Yeah, he's got the good move.
I mean,
yeah,
that's right. But you got guys, you know, they make their living like playing violins.
Yeah.
And they're exposing their fingers
to
this
ball.
Yeah,
that is interesting.
That's weird. You're right.
You should wear like steel gauntlets or something.
And of course, they beat us, but that's beside the point. Everybody beat us, but.
So I'm having a cocktail in my buddy's basement, Eric Playstead, Minnetonka. He got drafted by the Angels,
Playstead.
By the way. Eric Playstead.
That's my grandmother's name.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. His father was Dave, I believe. But anyway, so we're having a cocktail.
We're probably related.
We're in our late 30s at the time. And another friend is like, baseball glory day stories. Oh, we used to, right? And he says, well, you know, there's a old man baseball league here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, really? So he kind of looks into it, reaches out to the local team down in Prior Lake, the Prior Lake Pacers. And we're going to have a tryout, he and another friend of mine. And I'm like, oh, okay, enjoy yourself, good luck, and relive the old days, like Sprinthal on stage playing his guitar or whatever. So they say, well, you got to come with us because we're – and I was like, I was a basketball football guy. I played baseball, but they're like, come with. And I said, fine, I'll whatever, pitch to you, soft toss or something. Mm-hmm. Go there. Well, we all, you know, connected a little bit and hit some balls, and pretty soon we're in the league, right? And now we're playing old man baseball. Mike, guess what happens to a bunch of old guys that haven't done anything physical in many, many years? The first time you try to leg out that double.
Oh, you can pull a hammy there.
Yes. Many hammies were pulled. But I will tell you, it was a gas. So me and a bunch of my buddies played for probably 6-7 years. And it was a lot of fun. 35 and older. There's a 50 and older team. And there's a 70 and older team in the Twin Cities.
Oh, now you're talking.
League, rather.
That's got to be like NASCAR, where you're just waiting for someone to be taken out catastrophically.
into the wall. That's right. Yes.
Well, my buddy Bobby Barghini.
Bobby. I miss Bobby.
Yeah. Died on December 6th.
Yep.
And he played baseball in the over 35, over
really
40
good
league.
Too.
For probably until he was at least 50. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd tell me stories about it. He'd say, oh, that son of a bitch knocked me down. You know, I'm going to get back at him.
He was Italian.
Nobody loved playing ball more than him.
He did. He loved it.
Yeah.
He definitely loved it. You know, one of my favorite baseball stories, and I'll never forget, Cleveland Park in North Minneapolis. Just a pickup game, and one of my friends comes out. And I don't remember the guy's name anymore, which is sad. He was a friend of mine. I mean, we weren't close friends, but we were friends. And he's got his baseball uniform on, right? Because he'd come from practice or whatever. And he jumps into our game and hits one in the gap, rounds first, rounds second. And as he rounds second, you could see smoke following him. As he's running, there's a trail of smoke behind him. And then all of a sudden, he screamed and fell over. He had a box of Farmer Matches in his pocket.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Well, maybe possibly because he was a future sex offender. No, I...
Wow. I'm glad I don't remember his name now after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I am too.
No, I mean, that thing was like, boom!
Well,
whoa.
There was a kid in my gym class who always had a Farmer Match.
Why?
Well, because he loved setting things on fire.
Oh, because a lot of guys put him in there to chew on.
Oh, no.
He wanted to start stuff on fire.
He wanted to ignite things, yes. And
that's not good.
So you know how it was. I don't think they've done this for a while. I hope not. But, like, so we would have to like, you know, play like do horrible things like square dancing in those days so it was co-ed, of course.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know why they did this. What did this have to do with Jim? I could never figure out. But he was in the, you know, he was probably, his hands were clammy, I'm sure. You know, he was like seventh grade, and there's a girl there. And at some point, he's not very well coordinated. He falls down, and of course, his gym shorts ignite. And I think he had to transfer to another school.
No, why
that.
Do they do these things?
I don't know.
Like, you put stick matches in your pocket.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, that ignite with just a little bit of friction.
Just
yeah,
a little bit.
They're called strike anywhere, and your pocket is anywhere.
So. Literally anywhere.
Yeah, literally anywhere.
That is just odd. It's all very, very odd.
I've only ever swung at a baseball once in my life, and it was such a one in a million hit that I retired on the spot.
Pull the Gelfand and just turn and walk to your car, and that's
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
The Stephen Wright of baseball.
I was like 14 or something at the time, so, you know, it was quite a while ago. But What happened was, so I hit the ball, and it goes about 4 feet straight up in the air and lands on the bat on the backswing.
Well, that can happen. Yeah.
You can't do that even if you try.
No, you couldn't.
I was like, well, that's it.
No.
That's the best hit.
Yeah.
For a no-footer.
Yeah, it went 0 feet.
It went 0 feet.
It went literally straight up. It wasn't even a pop fly. It was vertical, 100%.
I've done that on a golf course in the rough a couple of times.
Oh, that'll happen.
I think that's a foul ball, isn't it?
Yeah, is it even in play at that point? It's hard to say.
I don't know.
That'd
be a foul ball.
Yeah, but it'd depend on where it lands.
Well, if it went straight up, then it would probably be a foul ball.
I would imagine.
But I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know that the rule book has anything on that.
I agree.
You might have to make the Bernard rule.
It's, I think we should ask an expert on the rules. Somebody like the Twins manager who has so when he doesn't know the rules, he asks the coach what the rules are. This is the manager, a major league manager, and he doesn't know the rules.
I know, Mike. It's getting very, very frustrating.
It is frustrating. Yeah.
Dougie, you got 2 minutes, so you want to tell people how to find you?
Yeah, sure. We'll pitch the stores a little bit. So we've got two locations in this part of the Midwest, Minnesota and Wisconsin. Let's just cut the shit. Flagship Ford in Baldwin, Wisconsin.
My favorite spot to buy a car.
And a great place to buy fireworks.
Fireworks,
too.
Right? Well,
fireworks,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a town of 3,000, and they have not one but two fireworks superstores.
And they're huge.
I know they're gigantic. Yeah. They look like Kmart's.
Yeah. Used to be a sponsor.
Yeah,
and also,
yeah.
We used to do their commercials, and I'd drive down there and get bags of fireworks, $500 worth.
You'd leave your strike anywhere matches at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, let's just say I swaddled them in blankets when I drove home.
Yeah. Good move.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And we also have a Chevrolet dealership in beautiful Zumbrota, Minnesota, down by Rochester. Yep. So if you're interested in a new Ford or Chevy, you can email me. Doug@flagshipford.com, and I'm really interested in somebody sending me in a killer hook for Flagship Ford's first annual Fall Fucktacular. We need something
great,
to back that up.
Great
so
banner.
Get your creative juices flowing. Email me any suggestions at Doug@flagshipford.com, and you may win a car.
I'll say this again, too. Not
you
one.
Probably per- won't, but
you said
may,
of course.
Yeah.
Went over there, bought a car, bought a Mustang. It's an SUV.
It's a crossover.
Crossover.
Mach-E Mustang.
And Officer Dave, I know you said it's not a real Mustang. That car will dust your 5.0, just so you know.
I got a 5.0.
Those electric vehicles,
but the electrics are faster.
Electric vehicles, they have to put in limiters so they can't go too fast, because otherwise...
Most of them are top-end limited. I think the Mustangs are like 120, and that's fast enough. Yeah. But the Tesla Plaids will go 200 miles an hour if you want them to.
You'll mess up your neck if you hit the accelerator on a... But, motor like that.
Yeah.
What I was saying was that I met about 20, 25 people. Not one asshole. They were all very, very nice people.
See, John was in Scotland.
Yeah, so he wasn't there. He would have taken that spot, but he wasn't there at the
time. Well, it's the law of large numbers.
Exactly. No, it's a very pleasant experience. And do not think, oh, my God, Baldwin, Wisconsin. It's literally, I think from my house, it was 43 minutes.
I actually love the commute in the morning. I'm not so big fan coming home, because then you want to get home and hang out with your wife. But in the morning,
rush hour.
I listen to you guys. It's great.
Thank God.
The podcast.
You're the one.
Thank you very much. You've got quite a few listeners.
As a matter of fact, didn't you tell me that somebody over at Flagship was teaching people how to download?
Well, Freezer, the guy that
It was Freezer.
Yeah, Jeff Freeze.
You know, we kept telling him.
He's a really
good guy.
And he's like,
me.
Well, it's really easy. It's just, yeah, Jeff, I know. I was the one that showed you.
When I tell my friends, it's a Tom Bernard morning show or, the family show. And, you should listen. It's really good. And they'll say, well, how do I do that?
What stations are
there? I know.
There's people like in their 50s who don't know how to Google.
No, you're right. I understand that.
I mean, I'm not a high-tech guy.
All you have to do is go to that blue.
That's only on Apple, just so you know. So on Android, you have to go to the Play Store. And then write Tom Bernard Podcast.
Oh, you're talking about those phones that you can carry with you.
Yeah, like this.
I don't know anything about that.
I know.
I took the cover off of mine because it got to be too thick. You know, they put that kind of rubbery cover.
It is annoying how
so you don't break them.
That.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, but if you drop it,
from Passwell,
you drop it 6 inches, the entire thing will shatter. Passwell. That's the problem.
All right, that's going to do it. So what you got? I'll see you next Thursday.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Get off your ass. Get over here.
I've
both
been working
of you.
A lot. Come on.
Oh, I'm
really hard. It is country hours, though. So if anybody's looking for a sales gig, it's pretty that. Sweet. We're closed at 6 Monday through Thursday, 5:30 on Friday. And, you know, when John agreed to hire me, it's his biggest mistake he's made in his life, he goes, you know, we're all open Saturday, but from 9 to 2. I'm like, this is... Why? We're going to be open longer. And so I've been there 6 days a week since I started. And yeah, now I know he's only open 9 to 2 on Saturday. It's dead. You know, we sell one or two cars and then the sidewalk rolls up. But everybody, you know, they're out. Most of the people that live in that community really enjoy the outdoors and they're, you know, they're out doing stuff. Side by side.
On Saturdays, you need hot dogs for the kids. Come on.
Well, yeah, let's turn it into Wally McCarthy's.
All right, so I'm going to show this just to show the kind of people I work with.
Okay.
I'll show it on camera for the first time. I brought in some Ollies. They're Hello Happy Gummy Worms is what they're called, right?
Oh, I like the concept.
Shouldn't we have taken these before the show started?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But Brittany decided that she wanted to start doing them.
Yeah.
She loved them. There's the original package I brought in. So she goes and buys this container of gummy worms.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves it in her car overnight.
Ah!
Uh-oh.
Look at this. It's a brick. These are not coming apart anytime soon.
No. Better be careful.
Everyone's done that once.
Look at how thick that is.
They have changed form.
They have changed.
So you're probably up on this. When are they going to start selling weed in Minnesota?
About 2 years.
They say it's going to be, some say maybe a year from now. But
I don't think
so. That's probably,
a year and a half. We'll go a year and a half.
It's not going to be quick, you know, because there's got to be a lot of bureaucracy first, and there's got to be rules and regulations.
I read some of the laws, and I wonder who wrote them, because I think legally you can carry like 2 ounces on you.
Two pounds.
No, you can have 2 pounds at home, but you can carry around a couple
ounces. Oh, I thought you could carry the whole 2 pounds.
Well, how are you supposed to get them home then?
That's like... this 2 cases of scotch is just for personal consumption.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we overstepped our stay. Thank you very much. Keep sending those emails. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see if we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.